Well, what makes you think you're a Christian? Because the Bible says, by their fruit you will know them.
Welcome to Connections with Rich and Bobby. Hi, I'm Bobby, Bobby Hamlin.
And I'm Rich, Rich Homeris. Well, again, we're continuing to visit with Joe Jackowitz as he shares his life-changing story. If you've missed any part of it or would like to listen again, they're all posted on our website at Connections with Rich and Bobby, all one word and Bobby spelled with an I, .com. So now, let's pick up where we left off.
Here, the Lord has opened your spiritual eyes and rocked your world. And you've gone and told your mother, you've told us about this previously, and your mother was a little worried about you telling anybody else. Well, what I'm wondering, you mentioned that a city set on a hill cannot be hid. Did other friends or family members notice a change in you as you had become a Christian, whether or not you had told them about it?
Well, my brother Roger, I'm the oldest of four. My brother Roger was the next under me. And after my conversion in 1976, I had shared the gospel with my family members, my mother, my siblings, and my grandparents and other family members. But my brother Roger received the gospel unlike my other family members. He embraced what I was saying about Jesus being the Messiah, though he did not get converted. So for about 20 years, I had witnessed to my family, and my brother Roger would come to me privately, especially when I would talk to him about the Lord. He would say, you know what? I believe, Joe, everything you're saying. I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Savior of the Jews and the Gentiles. But he never put his trust in Christ. He was ashamed of the gospel. He was not willingly to talk about it in the open or publicly with me. And so for 20 years, I had shared the gospel with him. Well, one day, the Lord poured out upon me a spirit of prayer for my sister-in-law, unlike I had ever prayed for anybody before. I was praying one day, and I was seized by this spirit to just pray for my sister-in-law's salvation. This is my brother Roger's wife, and she got saved. She called me the next day, and she had never called me before. She called me for the first time, and she says, Joe, you'll never guess what happened. I said, I have an idea, but go ahead and tell me anyway. She says, I got saved this morning. I said, really? I said, tell me about it. She says, well, I was sleeping last night. I had a dream that the rapture took place, the second coming of Christ. And she was standing in an open square and with a lot of people, and all of the people around her were being caught up in the air, were being taken up. And finally, when it ended, she was the only one left. She was left behind, and she began to cry out to God, God, don't leave me. Please save me. Take me. I want to go too. I want to go to heaven. And she suddenly woke up in a sweat, and she rolled over and rolled off the bed right onto her knees and began to cry out to God to save her. And then she called me and told me, I said, well, Pierre, you're not going to believe this, but yesterday, God poured out on me like never before a spirit of prayer for your soul. And the Lord must love you because he saved your soul. And he stirred me up, at least. I'm sure other people prayed for her, but my wife and I would pray for her through the years. So after her salvation, she began to change radically. And after asking my brother off and on for 3 months to go to church with her, he finally gave in and went to church. And he was very struck, my brother was, emotionally by that sermon. He was very emotional, tears flowing. During the invitation, he walked down the aisle. He prayed with the pastor to receive Christ. And then he got baptized. They took him behind the pulpit, and he changed into his baptism garments, and they baptized him. He also became a member of the church. He got the whole package all in one day, you know. But after about 3 months, he fell away from the faith and went back to his old life of drug use and immorality, cheating on his wife. And then for the next 15 to 20 years, I'm talking to him, and I'm trying to unsave him, because I would say, Roger, you went right back to your old lifestyle shortly after your conversion, so-called. He said, yes. I said, well, what makes you think you're a Christian? Because the Bible says, by their fruit you will know them. And he that says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, no Christian is perfect, but there is a definitive, radical change in lifestyle when you become a Christian. Jesus said in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 17, behold, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And so you've had no fruits in your conversion. And he would insist that he is a saved. He got to a point where later on he would say, you're judging me.
Guilt and conviction cuts deep into our souls when we're confronted with the reality of our sins, just as Joe's brother Roger faced. And we'll return to Joe's story in just a moment, so stay with us.
You're listening to Connections with Rich and Bobby, and we'd love to connect with you. Just go to our website at Connections with Rich and Bobby, that's all one word, and Bobby is BOBBI.com. That's Connections with Rich and Bobby.com. There, all of our podcasts are posted, along with all of our contact information.
Also, you can connect with us on social media by friending us on Facebook, post on Instagram, or tweet us on Twitter. Now, let's return to Joe as he continues talking about witnessing to his brother Roger.
One day, I remember many years later, we went on a family outing with a larger family and nieces and nephews, brothers and sisters, my mother, my wife, our children. And it was a 3-hour drive back home from the campsite. And I deliberately asked my brother to ride in the car with me and my wife and children to ride with someone else so that I could talk with my brother about his soul. So in the car, the entire 3 hours, I was using every pastoral device I could use, all my ministerial knowledge and experience in counseling, to bring Roger to the realization that he's not saved. And he adamantly refused to admit to that. And he was very angry with me. And I was gentle with him. I was kind. You know, the scriptures were convicting him. And he just refused to admit the truth. He would not look at the reality of it. So fast forward, he comes down with cancer. It's systemic through his entire system. He has it in his liver, his lungs, his pancreas, his bladder. He used every medical device he could, laser treatments, chemo, experimental treatments in Mexico. He flew all over to specialists and doctors. Finally, he has stage 4 cancer. He's on his deathbed. He's 3 days from death. And I get a call at about 5:00 in the morning. I said, Roger, what's wrong? He says, Joe, get down here right away. He lived in San Jose. I lived about a half hour away. I said, what's wrong? He says, just get down here. I'll tell you when you get here. It's an emergency, he says. So meanwhile, my mother and my sister moved into his house. They were taking care of him like hospice care. They were taking care of him day and night. When I got there, my mother was asleep on the couch. My sister was asleep on the other couch. And Roger was the only one awake in his bedroom. So I walked in, closed the door. He looks at me and says, come here. He's waving his hand. And he says, sit down right here next to me. And I could tell he was saturated with perspiration. His face was white, like sheet white. And I said, Roger, you look like you saw a ghost. What happened? He says, Joe, you'll never believe what happened. I said, what? He said, last night I had a dream. I had died from cancer, and I woke up in hell. And he says, I was like in chains. I couldn't get up and move. And I was hearing behind me these shrieks and screams like I never heard before, not in the worst horror movie. Screams and sobs and, oh, it was unbelievable. I would hear them above me and below me and all around me. And the fire, he says, fire was burning my body all around, top, bottom, left and right. And he said, we were in darkness, but I could hear people like just within arm's reach moaning and groaning, and I wanted to stop right away. He says, Joe, he says, it matched what was going on, the exact description of what you have told me about hell all these years. It was exactly like it. And he said, I realized I'm in hell. No. And he began crying out and screaming to God to take him away, to save him. He put his trust in Christ, and he woke up, and just like his wife, my sister-in-law, he rolled off the bed into crying out to God for to save him. And he says, Joe, as soon as I woke up, the first thing that came to my mind is what you've been trying to tell me the last 20 years. I said, Joe was right. I'm not saved. And I was deluded into thinking I was. I was living two lifestyles. And Joe, you are right. He says, thank God. He opened my eyes to realize that you were right. He says, there are so many people who are living a lie thinking they're saved. They're just hypocrites. They're going to church. They're doing this, but they're living a double life. I said, but wait a minute, Roger. No true Christian is perfect. But he said, yes, but in my case, I had no fruits. I had no evidence to base my salvation on, which I was not. And he says, I know I'm saved now. He says, I have the Holy Spirit. I feel so much joy of the Lord. And my brother was extremely popular, the most popular guy I ever knew. Not just because he was my brother. He was very winsome. He had so many friends all over the world. He was a manager of a rock band. He had friends everywhere. And when they found out that he was dying, there were people flying in from all over the world, from Europe, from the East Coast of the United States. And my brother, like I said, was ashamed of the gospel. He would never come to me openly. It would be like Nicodemus going to Jesus privately, right? Not wanting, for fear of the Jews, to know that he spoke to Jesus. So, but now, suddenly, in the bedroom, my mother comes into the bedroom with coffee on the tray. She says, Roger, are you okay? I heard noise. And then she saw me. She says, oh, Joey, you're here. Good, good. And as soon as she started walking towards the bed, my brother Roger said, stop, Mom. Stop. Don't move an inch before you say another word. I want you to know that I am a born-again Christian. I was on my way to hell. I was a hypocrite. She says, I know, but I didn't want to say anything. But my brother says, I am sorry, Mom. I was living a lie, and Joey has been trying to tell me that all these years. And last night, something amazing happened. I'm a Christian now, too. Oh, no, not another Joey now. But he says, no, this time it's real. It's real. And I want you to know I believe in Jesus Christ. He is the Jewish Messiah. He's in my heart. I know my sins are forgiven, and if for the rest of the time I have left in this world, God may heal me, but if he doesn't heal me from cancer, I'm going to devote the rest of my life every single day to Jesus Christ. And then my sister came in, he told her the same thing, and he says, Joe, you need to stay by my side the whole time. You need to teach me everything you can. You need to. About one day before he died, I said, Roger, I said, I'd like to baptize you before you die. Now, deathbed conversions, most of them are very suspect, because who doesn't pray before they die? You know, who doesn't change their mind or reflect upon their life and whether they did good or evil or whether they're going to heaven or hell? My brother was the real thing. And I've been at the deathbeds of many people, but I can say my brother really became saved. So I said to him a day before he died, I said, Roger, I can baptize you in the bathtub if you want. He says, Joe, I want so bad to be baptized, but I can't. I'm just so weak. I said, well, it's okay, Roger. You don't have to get baptized, but I want you to know that baptism has nothing to do with your salvation. You can die without being baptized and go to heaven. Look at the thief on the cross, I said. And I explained that situation. He says, sure. I know Jesus is in my heart, and I would get baptized if I could, Joe. Yeah. Within hours of that, he was gone into the arms of Jesus.
Wow. It's never too late. Just as Joe shared about the thief on the cross and the beautiful forgiving words of Jesus to this criminal hanging next to him, truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Luke 23, verse 43. Well, there's still more. In our next podcast, Joe shares how he was called into the ministry and became a pastor. So be sure to join us then. And invite others to join us for these life-changing stories on our podcast. Just point them to our website at Connections with Rich and Bobby, all one word and Bobby spelled with an I, .com. That's Connections with Rich and Bobby, .com.
Now, you've been listening to Connections with Rich and Bobby, and we'd love to have you subscribe to our podcast on this platform or any of the others like iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify. If you have a smart speaker, you can listen by simply saying, play the podcast Connections with Rich and Bobby. Then you can connect with us on social media, on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
This is Connections, connecting with one another, as Romans 1 verse 12 says, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So thank you for listening, and remember, tell others and spread the word, God's word.
And don't forget to join us next time on Connections with Rich and Bobby.